Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Led Zeppelin. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Speaking of Led Zeppelin, yesterday on our show, we played a song with Jimmy Page, the guitar player from Led Zeppelin, jamming with the Rolling Stones, a song called Scarlet. It was from 1974. The Stones were in the studio, and they had just finished up work on the album Goat's Head Soup. And I guess that song wasn't good enough for that great album. And so it was Jimmy Page playing with the Rolling Stones. And a pretty cool tune. Again, called Scarlet, but I guess it wasn't good enough for the album, and they hid it away, and it came out recently, all these years later. I mean, think about that, 47 years later. Look what we found. And so they found that tune, and we played it yesterday for you on the show at the end of our show. If you didn't hear it and you want to hear it, it's not the greatest song in the world, but it's pretty cool hearing Jimmy Page's distinctive guitar with the Rolling Stones, with Keith Richards' distinctive guitar. And you're talking about 1974 with two of the greatest rock bands at the peak of their greatness, at the peak of their creativity, at the peak of their just fantasticness. I mean, I've always said when it comes to the Rolling Stones, sure, they got a ton of albums, but if you want to me, the Rolling Stones from 1968 to 1973, those 5 years, they put out five albums in 5 years, starting with Beggar's Banquet, then Let It Bleed, then Sticky Fingers, then Exile on Main Street, then Goat's Head Soup. Those five albums, fantastic. That, to me, that's the definitive Rolling Stones. That is... And sure, they had an album before that in 1967. And then they had an album in the year after that. It's Only Rock and Roll in 1974. And they're good albums. But to me, the essential must-have incredible Rolling Stones are those five albums from 1968's Beggar's Banquet to 1973's Goat's Head Soup. Just incredible stuff. And they had finished up, it was, again, early 74, and I guess they had that left over from the Goat's Head Soup recordings, it's Only Rock and Roll recordings, but I think it was at the, they were jamming on that, so that would make that 1974, but anyways, whew, just, again, you're talking about Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin playing with the Rolling Stones in 1974.
When I heard it yesterday, I can kind of tell why it didn't make the album. When you really listen to it, and you know, we have these super advanced Walmart headphones, it did seem kind of like it wasn't engineered, and it was kind of like put together. Like they just happened to come across each other, and I was like, hey, you want to play? Want to jam with us right quick? And they kind of just did it. Like it seemed like they just put something together just to be cool. Like, hey, it's Jimmy Page. Hey, it's the Rolling Stones. Let's do something since we're both here.
Yeah, and Coleman, it's a real bluesy rock and roll jam. Yeah. And when you listen to the rest of Goat's Head Soup, I mean, I don't know if that song would stand up. And who knows why they got together, what the circumstances were, why they got together. They maybe just were hanging out one night, and they said, let's jam, and they just... and turned things on in the studio and started playing.
That's my assumption. I think they just happened to see each other and they just, hey, let's do something since we're both here.
Yeah,
they just did something and it wasn't.
I don't think they saw each other and said, "Hey, put you on, record a song, put you on the new album, mate." I don't think they did anything. I think they just jammed, and it's pretty cool, just hearing the sounds. Again, if you didn't hear it, it's the Rolling Stones with Led Zeppelin's guitarist Jimmy Page, from 1974. It's a song called Scarlet. Again, pretty cool stuff. Like Homer said, I mean, it's not the greatest song in the world, but if you like cool guitar sounds and you like bluesy rock and roll jams, go check it out. Listen to it. Highly recommend it. It's on our website at bayou957.com.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity? Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media? Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we've got an update on a story, a very disturbing story. I want to get this out of the way now because we've got a lot of fun stuff we want to talk about later on. Plus, since today being Friday, we like to have more of a fun show. But this happened yesterday in New Orleans. This update on this, the most disturbing story we've talked about in a while. If you remember, a week or two ago, here in the city, a 9-year-old boy was shot in the head and killed. All he was doing, he was standing right next to his front stoop in the 7th Ward, and he was with 2 other children, and someone walked up to them. This wasn't a mistake like where you've seen before when they were shooting at somebody else and a kid just happened to be in the way. They walked up to these kids, and they just opened fire, whoever the gunman was, and a 9-year-old boy was shot in the head and killed. His name was Devontae Bryant. Just a horrible story. And the 2 other children who were with them, they were shot as well, but they survived. And police believe he was with a boy and a girl. Police believe that the other boy he was with was the intended target. And I believe that boy was 15 years old. And I remember seeing that story. I got so sad. I mean, who in God's name walks up to 3 young children like that standing on the street corner? This was in broad daylight and just opens fire, just shoots these children. They still haven't caught the shooter yet. The shooter then, after shooting these 3 children in the 7th Ward, hopped into a white Jeep, and there were 2 other people in the car. That Jeep was found the following day in Algiers, outside of an apartment complex. So you would have thought that the New Orleans police were closing in, but here we are several days later. They still don't know who did that. And yesterday, the New Orleans police had a press conference. Police Chief Sean Ferguson was asking the community's help and solving this. I mean, anybody who would walk up to a group of 3 young children standing on a street corner, or standing in front of the 9-year-old's front porch, front stoop in the 7th Ward, and shoot them like that, I mean, walked right up to them, execution style, young kids. So Sean Ferguson, the New Orleans police superintendent, yesterday was asking for help. But the update on the story was the mother of that child just got arrested. The mother of the 9-year-old who was shot in the head and killed just got arrested. Why did she get arrested? Because one of her other children, and her name's Donna Howard, one of her other children who was living in a juvenile delinquency home, or he was living somewhere that he didn't want to be, and he's very young too. He's only 14. He escaped from that place. He was found by police in a stolen car with a gunshot wound in his leg. Again, he's 14 years old. Evidently, after he escaped from the juvenile home where he's staying, he was involved in stealing a car. He got shot. He went to his friend's house. And he said, and then after he went to his friend's house, his friend's mother bandaged up his leg. And then he called his mother, and then he went home to his mother in the 7th Ward. And then the police tracked him down there. He said he didn't call police or he didn't go to the hospital because he didn't want to get sent back to quote-unquote jail, the juvie place where he was. But he's not the only one. There's another brother who we talked about a few months ago on the show who was involved in stealing cars as well. And we played their father, we played him on the show saying that he got involved with some older kids and they were using him to help steal the car. And he was only like 12 or 13 years old as well. And the father said, well, these kids, my kids, they got involved with the wrong kids, older kids, and they've got to do. So now this is three boys. The 9-year-old's dead. The 14-year-old was just shot in the leg and found in a stolen car. And then the brother in between those two ages, I think he's like 11 or 12, he was the one a few weeks ago that was stealing cars. And so the mother got arrested yesterday, Coleman, because she, once the 14-year-old who was shot in the leg, once he came home, she never called the hospital, never called the police, never called anybody. Could you imagine being a young kid like that and getting shot in the leg? And your mother doesn't call the hospital. You have a friend's mother that just bandages it up. A 14-year-old, I mean, I'm thinking what I was doing at 14 years old. I was on my bicycle riding around town playing baseball and basketball, having a great time. Some of these kids in New Orleans, and here's three in one family. My God, when they're born, you talk about born behind the eight ball. Some of these kids have no chance.
Here's my thing. I don't understand why it is. I'm not a police officer. I can't imagine how hard it is to try to figure this out. But there's too many coincidences for them not to know who's trying to kill their kid. One of your kids just got shot. Another one has a bullet hole, and another one is stealing cars. You know who's trying to take your kids out. One of them has to know. There's three. That's too many coincidences. All three of your kids are being targeted, and nobody knows why or how or who. One of those kids knows. Somebody knows. Even that guy, the boy that was the intended target for the 9-year-old, they should have just asked him, do you know anybody who would want to take you out? Somebody knows who's trying to take these kids out. They have to know.
Yeah, I'm surprised they've gotten some help from the feds, I believe, with the shooting death of the 9-year-old. And I'm surprised they haven't captured the shooter in that situation. But all of those kids and the same parents.
And it's based on the same thing, stolen cars, Grand Theft Auto. Like, it's all based on this. And we were talking about that when they had the slew of car thefts earlier this year. And I put it together like, dude, this is too organized for there to just be some random kids. There's a ring of stolen car thieves somewhere in New Orleans that we just don't know about.
So she was arrested, but then yesterday she stood in front of a judge here in New Orleans, and the judge let her go home.
Right, to grieve.
To grieve
yeah.
over the death of her 9-year-old son, Devontae. Meanwhile, this other kid had a bullet in his leg, found in a stolen car. The mother never called the hospital. I couldn't imagine getting shot at 14. I mean, let alone, I couldn't imagine that, getting shot at 14. But then calling my mother, going home with my mother, and my mother doesn't even take me to the hospital.
Well, he probably didn't want to go because he said if he'd have been brought to the hospital, they'd have brought him
they
back to
juvie. They would have brought him back to juvie. My God, some of these kids, they don't, I feel so bad for they don't have a chance in hell once they're born, some of them. But the New Orleans police, they need to find the shooter who killed the 9-year-old, shot him in the head, Devontae. I just wanted to bring you that update because we've been following that story, and that's the only sad story we're going to talk about today, because I got a lot of fun stuff we're going to get to, including coming up on the show. There was a sports announcer who just got fired for saying something on the air, but he is now suing NBC, the network who fired him, claiming straight man discrimination. He's saying because what he said as a straight heterosexual man, it got him fired. When other people who he worked with, who he works with, who happen to be gay, they've said crazier things and they haven't gotten fired. The straight man discrimination firing of a former NHL hockey star who was just an NHL broadcaster now, but he got fired. We'll tell you that story coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Van Halen there. Eddie Van Halen's son, Wolfgang Van Halen, the son that he had with the actress Valerie Bertinelli, he's now in Van Halen, Wolfgang. He plays bass. He replaced Michael Anthony in Van Halen. And the reason I'm bringing that up now is because someone just gave him a bunch of crap on Twitter, on social media. Evidently, people were going back and forth who they thought was the better Van Halen lead singer, either David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar. What's interesting, I've always preferred Roth. I just thought it rocked more with Roth, and plus I remember being a kid. That's what I heard first. Not that the Hagar Halen wasn't good too, because it was. And actually, I think the Hagar Van Halen sold more records if you put them all together than the Roth Van Halen. But anyways, fans were arguing, and it got back to him on his Twitter, and he made a comment, and I think he might have said something not negative about David Lee Roth, but it wasn't as positive as he was talking about Sammy Hagar. And then I guess a Roth Halen fan got back to him and said, "Hey, pal, David Lee Roth is 50% of the reason why you grew up rich." That's what he said.
Inside. Same David Lee Roth that was doing his Vegas deal.
Yeah, it's the same guy. Okay. Who was recently, before coronavirus, was starting out a club tour, or at least a tour in Vegas, and wasn't doing that great. He was working on it, but coronavirus might have saved him.
Got a job.
But I just thought it was something how some Van Halen fans say, "Hey, pal, watch what you say about Roth. He's half the reason. He's 50% of the reason you grew up rich." Well, I made a good point here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You don't see this headline every day. Man accidentally receives $3,500 Venmo payment. Uses it to buy beer.
Yeah! Yes!
You ever send money, Venmo, PayPal?
No.
That's a way. That's right. Coleman, you barely even use debit cards. You everything is cash with you.
I'm not in the financial bracket. They have cool stuff like Cash App and Venmo.
But a lot of times when you, if you want to make a financial deal with somebody, and I'm explaining this to Coleman because if you're listening right now, you probably already know this. But Coleman, if a lot of times if you want
to explain it to us broke people, what's a Venmo?
Well, if you want to send money to somebody online via the internet, Venmo is a way to do it. PayPal is another way to do it.
So a cool Western Union is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Anyways, it was really cool for this one guy. He accidentally received $3,500.
Cha-ching.
A Michigan man recently received that surprise payment of $3,500 while playing a round of golf with his father. As the money was meant for someone else, he decided to do the right thing and pay it back. Well, most of it. He paid most of it back, but he kept enough for himself to buy a case of beer. All right. So that makes more sense than the actual headline. Because after I read the headline, I thought he bought $3,500 worth of beer. But no, he gave back, I guess he gave back $3,475.
It depends on what type of beer.
Yeah. His name's Trevor Harwood.
Great young man.
And he's from Ionia, Michigan. He received money from the payment app Venmo while on the golf course with his dad. He reportedly didn't recognize the name on the payment either. Well, what would you do if that happened? All of a sudden, you got $3,500 in your Venmo account. I mean, what would you do if you're listening? It turns out the man who sent the payment, his name, Isaac Nowak, he was trying to buy a camper out in Utah. The man selling the camper was also named Trevor Harwood.
What are the odds?
Yeah, the same name as the guy playing golf on the golf course in Michigan with his father. Isn't that something? So there's two guys with the same name. All of a sudden, you look down and you've got an extra $3,500 in your account now. What do you do? This guy did the right thing, and I'd like to think we would all do the right thing, but I know there are a bunch of people that probably would have already spent that $3,500 and not just buying one case of beer.
I wonder if the guy got mad because the camper was exactly $3,500, but now he couldn't get the camper because the guy took the money out for the case of beer. Like, he was $20 short. He couldn't get the camper.
So after the Trevor Harwood from out in Utah said, "Hey pal, I never got the money." The guy who was buying the camper, Isaac Nowak, said, "What do you mean? I sent it to you. It's been accepted." And he said it was like instant nausea. You know that feeling you get in your stomach, like when you think you lost your wallet or mm-hmm. you think you lost your keys for a minute. You know that feeling.
Yeah, like
you
if you drop your iPhone in the storm drain.
It took the other Trevor Harwood, the one who was on the golf course with his father. It took him 7 hours to reply. You know, what if he didn't reply? Hey, somebody sent me $3,500. But he had a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And as a joke, he offered to refund most of the money. And he said, "I'm keeping money for a case of beer." And you know what? The guy, Isaac Nowak, said, "That's fine. You can, you know, buy a couple of cases if
for
you
your
want.
Inconvenience, yeah.
But thank you for giving me most of the $3,500 back. $3,500 back." I mean, but that's like, you know, you've read stories and I've seen stories about how people will go to the ATM and they'll check their checking account and all of a sudden there's like an extra $25,000 or $30,000 in there or $100,000. Some people have gotten in trouble because it was a banking mistake.
Right.
And some people have gotten in trouble because they went out and spent that money. And then when the bank said, "Look, we know we made a mistake. Sorry, I don't have that anymore." And then the bank has those people arrested because the bank says, "Look, it was our mistake, but you knew that money wasn't yours." And some people are thinking, "Well, wait a minute, I didn't make the mistake. The bank was the one who made the mistake."
What I learned from this story is that I should have been named Trevor. One, Trevor's out playing golf, so you know he's well off. Then another Trevor has a camper. That means he's well off. That means seems like if your name is Trevor, you're just financially well off. So I'm going to change my name to Trevor and hopefully run into some money.
Well, I'm glad the Trevor Harwood up there who was playing golf with his father when he got this. Took him 7 hours. And then he bought a case of beer, but he returned most of the $3,500 that was sent to him, who had the same name as a guy who was selling a camper out in Utah.
Trevor.
Hey, coming up on the show, O.J. Simpson actually made some sense. We'll explain. And there's a broadcaster who just got fired for saying something, and now he's suing the network who fired him, claiming straight man discrimination. He said he wouldn't have gotten fired if he wasn't a straight heterosexual man. Wait till you hear this story. Stay tuned for those reports coming up on the show. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Yesterday was Guns N' Roses guitarist Slash. It was Slash's 55th birthday. And, you know, there was a time where Slash wasn't doing very well. I remember when I was on the radio in Boston, I interviewed him, and it was at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and we had to send someone out to the liquor store. He was having the shakes. He needed to get a bottle, and he needed to get it pretty quick. And what was interesting is when we got the bottle for him, he was a great interview. He was an absolute mess before, but then as soon as he took a couple of drinks, he turned out to be a great interview. Real nice guy. And you know, their debut album came out 33 years and 2 days ago. It came out on Wednesday. And obviously one of the greatest, not only debut rock and roll albums of all time, one of the greatest, in my opinion, rock and roll albums of all time. It's the Gunners here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show. This is a wild lawsuit. And I want to ask you if you think that this lawsuit has any chance of winning. A hockey announcer was recently fired from NBC for something he said while he was on the air during a hockey game. His name is Jeremy Roenick, and he was a great hockey player. He had like a 20-year NHL career. He's from Boston. And Jeremy Roenick, the last few years, has been working for NBC, and he's basically like a hockey analyst, a color commentator on hockey games. Well, he was fired because he said, and he didn't even say this on NBC. He didn't say this during a hockey game. He was on somebody else's podcast, and he made a joke about doing a threesome with his wife and another woman who happened to be very attractive. Well, evidently, some people heard that podcast, and they called up NBC to complain about what Jeremy Roenick said on that podcast. Oh, this guy's making jokes about having a threesome with his wife and this attractive woman he was just talking about. And because people called up or on social media complained to NBC, they fired him. And I said this is all because of social media. This is something like this would not have happened before social media, before the internet. It just wouldn't have happened. But because of social media, when a bunch of people get together and complain and put it in front of people's faces, the people, the bosses, they feel like they have to do something to answer these people. So Jeremy Roenick, after he got fired, he said, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? You're firing me for making a joke about doing a threesome with my wife and this attractive woman that we were talking about? And Jeremy Roenick said, but what about the a couple of other people who work for NBC Sports and do their Olympic coverage, like the former ice skater Johnny Weir and his partner Tara Lipinski, former skater as well? They have made sexual innuendo jokes on NBC. He said, I didn't even say what I said on NBC during a hockey game or any hockey talk. He said, I was on somebody else's podcast, completely unrelated to the network that I work for, NBC. And so Jeremy Roenick has got a lawyer and he is suing NBC. And in the lawsuit, he brought up a couple of things that Johnny Weir, who happens to be gay, has said on NBC and basically making jokes. And his lawyer and him are saying, you didn't take any action against Johnny Weir or Tara Lipinski for saying what they said. As a matter of fact, Johnny Weir, during the Olympics, during the NBC's coverage of the Olympics of ice skating, talked about the body parts of ice skaters in a very colorful way. And in the lawsuit, Jeremy Roenick is saying, well, wait a minute, it's because he's gay? He can say whatever he wants to say? But because I'm straight, I can't say what I said. And again, I didn't even say it on NBC. I think this law, and he's suing for straight man discrimination. He's claiming in the lawsuit that that he's being sued because he's straight. And basically, he didn't say anything different than what the gay Johnny Weir said. But Johnny Weir still has a job. And now Jeremy Roenick is saying that, you've ruined my post-NHL career. How am I supposed to get another job doing this? Coleman, you think, I think he might have something here.
If he can provide sound bites of the two homosexual commentators broadcasting from NBC and provide the context and say, listen to what he's saying on NBC air in court and that could be submitted as evidence, he has a shot. I mean, they might settle out of court before it goes that far, but yeah, he's making a point.
During the 2018 Olympics, Johnny Weir, who happens to be gay, on NBC gave some very colorful commentary about the body parts of ice skaters, and yet he still has a job. And Jeremy Roenick, not on NBC at the time, he was on somebody else's podcast,
mm-hmm.
said, wow, it'd be wild to me and my wife did a threesome with her. She's hot. And he lost his job over that.
And it also depends on what, Weir said. If he's just complimenting body parts but not saying he intends to do anything with the ice skaters, because on the podcast, the hockey player's like, I want to do this. I want me and my wife to engage in this activity. Whereas if the homosexual commentators were just being complimentary of the ice skaters' body parts but not saying, ooh, I would like to do this or I would like to do that, then the argument could be made, no, they didn't really cross any boundaries. They was giving compliments and flattering, commentary, but they weren't saying, I intend to do such and such.
Well, and then Jeremy Roenick Also in this lawsuit, he's a Donald Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying his support for Trump also is a reason why he got fired, because pretty much nobody that works at NBC, I guess, likes Donald Trump. And as a matter of fact, somebody at NBC actually even told him, your boy Trump is messing up this country. So he's got two issues here but the issue that's getting the most notoriety is he's claiming he was fired because of straight man discrimination.
I don't think he's going to win this lawsuit after thinking about it. I don't think he has a point. It is going to bring awareness to the situation and the bias, but I think when it's all said and done, they're not going to side with him. They're going to side with NBC.
But it's interesting because he said Johnny Weir can say whatever he wants because he's gay.
But that's the thing. Did he say anything overtly super sexual, like, ooh, I want to chew that guy up? Or did he just say, wow, that guy has some nice abs or whatever? If he's just being complimentary of the body parts, but not, because this guy, or the hockey player, he was on the podcast saying, I want to do a threesome, basically intending he wants to do a sexual activity. He wasn't just being, wow, that woman's beautiful. He was just saying, wow, that woman's beautiful, plus I want to, said he wanted to engage in something. Whereas if the other commentators who was doing an ice skating bit, if they were just saying, wow, that guy looks great, but not saying, wow, that guy looks great and I want to, then that's two different contexts.
Well, all I've got, it was very colorful commentary about ice skaters' body parts. And they're saying that, you can't fire Johnny Weir. If you didn't fire Johnny Weir for talking like that, how can you fire me? We'll keep an eye on this lawsuit, but I just thought it was very interesting. This is one of the first times I've ever seen a straight man discrimination lawsuit. I was fired because I was straight, according to Jeremy Roenick. Isn't that something? Coming up on the show, O.J. Simpson just said something, and a lot of people are saying he made a lot of sense because last night was the first baseball game the coronavirus shortened season. They're only playing 60 games. Last night on July 23rd was opening night, and OJ made a couple of comments about what he saw with players taking knees and things like that. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. No doubt about it. These are tough times we're living in right now in the United States. And according to a new poll, 2/3 of Americans say most people can't be trusted. The other third didn't answer the poll because they didn't trust the pollster. They didn't recognize the number that was calling them on their phone. They didn't trust it. Can't be answering his damn phone. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And last night, I was really excited to watch some baseball. It was opening night in Major League Baseball for the first time ever on July 23rd. The 60-game shortened season because of coronavirus. No fans in the stands. And last night, ESPN had a doubleheader. And what was interesting is when I turned on the game, the national anthem made a lot of news. Right before the game started, each team came out of the dugout. It was the defending World Series champion Washington Nationals hosting the New York Yankees. So before the national anthem, they had they took a black cloth, and they put it behind home plate, and then they stretched it out over the first baseline and the third baseline down the lines. And the public address announcer, even though there's no fans in the stands, said, let's have a moment of silence for racial injustice, whatever the moment of silence was for. I mean, police brutality in the wake of the George Floyd murder. And all of the players got down on one knee. And they were down on one knee for, I don't know, I as a matter of fact, I was flipping through, I turned it on, and they were already down on one knee. So I don't know if it was 30 seconds or how long they stayed down on one knee for, around that time, about that amount of time. And then the public address announcer said,
"Thank you."
Then they stood up, all the players stood up, and they took the black cloth away, and they played the national anthem. And so they stood for the national anthem. But then in the second game of the doubleheader, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants, they did the same thing. But after the moment of silence with the black cloth, and after the public address announcer said, "Thank you," only some of the players stood up. And they started playing the national anthem, and a bunch of the players stayed down on one knee in that second game. And boy, oh boy, you know, I have Facebook friends on both sides of the political aisle, and I saw just going back and forth. And I'm even this morning, I'm looking at it. One friend, "That's it. I'm done with baseball. I'm never watching baseball again." Another friend, "Oh, I thought it was so great what they did in baseball last night." I mean, just going back and forth, just seeing. The two different reactions.
So they were talking more about the actual national anthem and the kneeling instead of the actual game itself.
Yeah. the people that I saw posting. Here's a question I want to ask you if you're listening. Do you think that's a good thing for sports, that these athletes should be making statements on what's going on in our country? Or do you tune into sports to get away from all of this stuff? And look, I could see both sides of the argument. I mean, the George Floyd killing was awful. I mean, America watched a man get murdered on an 8-minute video. I mean, that was awful. And if you go back, and you remember, right after that happened, I believe it was 97% of Americans agreed that the cop was in the wrong. That cop should not only lose his job, he should go to jail for the rest of his life. And I mean, 97% of Americans agreed. But then, since that happened, all the different politics and political angles start showing up. But I couldn't believe it. Just looking at my Facebook feed, just scrolling. It was one person, "I'm done with baseball, never watching it again." The next person, "It was so great what they did." And I don't know if they're going to be doing this for every game. And I know when the NBA starts next week that some of the players, they're allowed to have social justice messages on the back of their jerseys. Well, some social justice messages, not all social justice messages. For instance, you know, the NBA makes millions and millions of dollars from China. And some people ask, hey, could they put "Free Hong Kong" on the back of their NBA jerseys for a social justice statement? Because communist China, they're stifling the people in Hong Kong. And China's record on social justice is horrible. And China's record on people with human rights is absolutely horrible. They have child labor over in China. They have, some call it slave labor in China. But because the NBA makes millions and millions of dollars off of China, they say, shut up. We're not going to put that social justice message on your back. But if you want to put Black Lives Matter or whatever the case may be, you can do that. So a little bit of contradiction there. Even O.J. Simpson said something. I mean, O.J. Simpson on Twitter, when he saw this last night, he wanted to weigh in.
"Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Well, it's hot here in Las Vegas, so I'm sitting around my house watching TV, and I got to tell you, it's getting kind of depressing. Watching politics on TV, I've never seen it so divisive, so hateful. And now we got a lot of politics coming into sports. I remember you can go to the arena, bring your kids there. And guess what? You got away from all of that crap. You just went there to watch good, healthy competition.
Wow.
The voice of reason in 2020.
Did OJ just make sense? But I'm looking, I understand that some, I mean, you know, these athletes, they have millions of followers on social media. They want to get their opinion heard too. But isn't there a time and a place for everything? I mean, when I turn on a game, I want to watch the game. I look, if I want to see all the political stuff and the messages, I'll watch the cable news channels. I'll watch the news.
See, the thing is, we still don't know how the game go. Like, you watch the game, was it entertaining? Was it weird? We're talking more about the political stuff, but I want to know how. I was at work, so I couldn't watch it. Was it weird without the things in the, like, what happened?
Well, in the first game, Coleman, there was nobody. Well, in both games, there was nobody in the stands. Although the second game, they had cardboard cutouts in the first few rows that went around.
Did they have fake crowd noise?
They did have fake crowd noise.
Okay.
And Fox, the network, last night the games were on ESPN, but Fox this weekend, they say they're going to add a lot. They're going to add fans in the stands. They're going to add all kinds of things. They did pump in some noise after a hit. After and out, there was some noise that was pumped in, and it was just for me. I'm a big sports fan. It was cool watching an actual ball game for the first time in several months. But I couldn't believe that my Facebook feed. How many people? That's it. I'm done. I'm not watching it. I'm done with the NBA. I'm done with baseball. I know they're going to be kneeling during football season, and I thought it would because with baseball they. Especially in that first game, they knelt before the national anthem, and they all stood up for the national anthem.
Now, was that the one that went five innings?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the Yankee game. It rained after the fifth inning, and even though the rain passed and they wanted to finish the game, the dugouts got flooded, and they had to call the game after five innings. That was pretty apropos for a shortened season, a 60-game short season, 60-game long season, and only a five-inning baseball game. To start the short game to start the short season, but text us. I mean, do you think there's a time and a place, or do you think these athletes should be giving you their opinions during games, before games, whatever the case may be? Personally, I tune into games to watch games. If I want to get political messages, I'll watch cable news. I'll watch the news channels. Text us 260-9595. Keep it short and sweet. Please don't text while you're driving. If it's good, we'll read it on the show coming up next, and put your either first name or your initials at the end of it. Is that something you want to see in sports? Is that something that, hey, look, these guys have a big following, and this is where they have an audience. They got to get their message out. Or are you like me? Look, I tune into the game to watch the game. I can see this stuff in other places. I want to hear from you. Text us on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show. Last night, opening night for Major League Baseball in the coronavirus shortened 60-game season. And I'll tell you, my Facebook feed, people were going crazy because the players, before the national anthem, they all lined up and they kneeled. They had a long black cloth, and they stretched the black cloth from home plate up the first baseline and the third baseline, and they had a moment of silence where all the players were on their knees. And then after that, the public address announcer said, thank you. They stood up, the players, and then they played the national anthem. And in the first game, the doubleheader last night on ESPN, all the players on both teams stood up for the national anthem. But in the second game, some of the players remained on their knees, on a knee for the national anthem. And my social media, my Facebook was going crazy. And I got friends from all over the political spectrum. And a lot of my Facebook friends were like, that's it, I'm done with baseball. I don't want to watch this. I tuned in to watch a baseball game. I'm done with all of this stuff. They're going to be kneeling during football. They're going to be kneeling during the NBA. I'm finished. And then I had other friends saying, boy, it's great that they're bringing more attention to this these issues. And the way I looked at it is I just tuned in for a baseball game. That's what I wanted to watch. I mean, I followed the news. And if I wanted to see all the political stuff, I'll watch cable news and such. But I asked you to text us. What did you think about that? And do you think that's the right time and the right place for the athletes, the players, to be doing that?
This text says professional athletes should be making their statements about politics about as much as actors in Hollywood should. That's a good text, actually.
And they can do it on their own time. They do have free time as well.
Now, Boston Bobby makes a great point.
Bobby!
He said that the athlete should refrain from politics, but the only time he support that is something like 9/11, where we're all united. See, now that may, see, something like this is kind of divisive, so they should refrain from doing that, the MLB. But if it's something like with 9/11, where everybody was in solidarity, yeah, that's something you should honor.
Right after the former Minneapolis, Minnesota police officer, Derek Chauvin, killed George Floyd, right after that happened, 97% of America agreed that was wrong and that cop should be gone and that cop should go to prison. And 97% of Americans don't agree on anything. But then since then, the divisiveness, divisiveness has come back. Mm.
Joe the Grinder says OJ was right for once.
Yeah, OJ said, I remember when you can go to a game and they stayed out of politics.
Stephen C., the national anthem needs to come first. Politics comes second. Men and women have died for that flag, for their freedom to do it.
And I think and we've mentioned this once before on the show a couple of times, and I don't want to talk a lot about this, but I'm on record. I've said this. Look, the term Black Lives Matter, that term is right. Of course Black Lives Matter. But the group that started about 7 years ago, Black Lives Matter, the same name, they're an anti-American group. They're Marxist. They're anti-capitalist. If you go and you read their mission statements on their website, they want to destruct the American family. They think communities should be raising children and things like that. I mean, it's the group is different than the saying. But a lot of people, they just lump the two together.
All right, last one. Redbird said, well, no, that's Roy. Roy says, I think Austin and Coleman need more talk time and less music.
Well, whatever the case may be, we rock on this morning show as well. So, but thank you for your texts. We appreciate it. Coming up on the show, I've got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and it has to do with sex. And I've got some great news if you enjoy eating chocolate. Great health news for chocolate eaters. And I'm not lying. It's true. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I've got a fun game for you to play right now. Or if you're driving, wait till you stop. Pull over or park. But when you're the next time you're in front of your computer or on your cell phone, go to Google, all right? Type in your birthday, just the month and the day, followed by the two words, Florida man. And I guarantee you there's going to be, how many days are there in the year? 365?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
There are going to be 365 different stories. I just typed in my birthday, and I typed in Florida man in Google, and you know what popped up? Florida man who attacked McDonald's worker over a straw sentenced to jail.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the person that told me about it, Kevin, on his birthday, the Florida headline was, Florida man shoots himself in the penis.
His beat mine.
All right, now here's mine, January 11th. Florida man decapitated by helicopter blade.
Yeah, yours is good too. So yeah, when you get a second, it's a little game for you. Just go to Google, type in Florida man, and then or type in your birthday,
whatever the month. Either way, it works.
The month and the day, And then Florida Man.
And then watch all the news reports. Some of them, like, I actually had three of them. Just the decapitation one was the best. But I have three Florida stories that happened on my birthday that were just ridiculous.
Coming up next on the show, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And it has to do with sex during the coronavirus. Stay tuned for that. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Now, it was going to be the Washington Redskins' new football name is the Washington Football Team. But you got to realize that's only on an interim basis. I think it's only for this year. And there's two reasons for that. Because when they announced that yesterday, a lot of people took to social media and went crazy. But you got to realize something. They weren't really ready for this. And from what I understand, the name that they want has been trademarked by that guy who lives up there, who trademarked over the last several years a bunch of names because he saw this coming. And he trademarked a bunch of names, so he wants to get paid. He wants to get money out of this. So, and plus, it takes some time. It takes, I think, up to 2 years when you change your name. I remember when the New Orleans Hornets change to the New Orleans Pelicans. They had so much merchandise that they still had they still had to get rid of. If they couldn't sell it anymore, they tried to give it away, all the old Hornets stuff. And it took time to make all the new Pelican stuff.
I actually like the name, just the Washington Football Team. I think that should be their team name. It's better than the Browns. I'd rather my team be called the team. You can show it, the Washington Team. Yeah, I like it. I think it has a nice ring to it.
Well, I think it's only going to be for this year, Coleman. It's only the Washington Football Team on an interim basis.
They should keep it permanent. I like
it. And they got their logo with the Indian, the Native American, the chief, whatever you want to call them. That used to be on their helmet. They got rid of that. And they're just going to put the number on their uniform, whichever player it is, his uniform number is going to be on his helmet.
I like that idea. Mm-hmm. That should also be permanent.
Oh, and this just in, the band Lady Antebellum had to change their name again. They originally changed it to Lady A, but there was a woman who's been a bar performer, a black blues woman out in the Pacific Northwest, whose name is Lady A, and she's been performing for 25, 30 years. So Lady Antebellum had to change their name again. They are now Lady Redskins.
Okay, right, here it is.
Okay, so here's the dumbest thing I read all morning. It's not the interim name of the Washington Football Team. Coronavirus sparks surge in online swingers in big cities.
Ew, yuck.
Yeah, evidently there's almost a million active swingers in the United States of America, according to this website, Threefun, Threesome Dating. Boy, you wouldn't think this would, swinging, you wouldn't, with married couples, you wouldn't think this would go up during the coronavirus, because obviously you can, maybe, even if you wear masks, if you're doing sex, you could still. But anyways, the numbers are going up on these swinging websites, maybe because a lot of these married couples, they're stuck.
Yeah.
They're trapped.
They're bored.
They're trapped with each other at home.
It makes absolute complete sense to me. So let's say you're a working couple, right? And when you go to your job and she goes to her job, they both have their little side pieces at their job that they can see where they get their little fling. So when they come home, they're satisfied. But since they're stuck at home together and they can't work, they both came to the realization, look, we're boring. We need to add some spice. Let's just agree to swing. That way they can fill that void they get from missing out on their workplace piece.
Well, so, and this is what a woman named Jennifer White said, who represents the dating app Threefun. For swingers, She says, quote, social distancing makes offline meetings tough because all the bars, hotels, and restaurants are closed. That means most open-minded people are trying to meet new friends online during the pandemic. And hopefully they wait until it's over. Once the pandemic is over, they will finally meet offline. And if they haven't already, that's what, what she's saying. And I just hope they're not spreading this by swinging.
New York swinging. Of course they're swinging right now underground. I mean, think about it. If they are brave enough to swing with couples, you know they're brave enough to swing with couples during the coronavirus. They have no fear.
Look, I'm going to get married. I want to get married, and someday I'm going to get married. I know I've waited a long time. I would never want to share my wife. The girlfriends I've had in my past, long-term mm-hmm. relationships, I never would want to.
What if she wants to be shared with another woman?
Well, that's a whole different story. That's we can maybe get into that. We'll run out of time here. But not with another, anyways.
Double standards exist.
Well. The coronavirus sparked a surge in online swingers in big American cities. Is the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. Coming up next, if you like eating chocolate, I've got some good health news for you. I'm serious. Good news health-wise if you enjoy eating chocolate. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. If you love eating chocolate like I do, this headline is incredible. This research is incredible. Eating chocolate weekly cuts risk of heart disease. How about that? According to a new study. That's good news. That's great news. If you enjoy chocolate, you can cut the risk of heart disease by indulging at least once a week. In a study of over 336,000 people, found that consuming chocolate more than once a week reduced the risk of developing coronary heart disease by 8% when compared to those who eat it less frequently. According to a doctor at the Baylor College of Medicine in Texas, quote, our study suggests that chocolate helps keep the heart's blood vessels healthy. That's fantastic news. And don't overdo it, because obviously if you overdo it, then you'll have other health issues. But if you like to eat some chocolate once a week, maybe even twice a week, but no more than that, You're doing goodness, greatness for your heart. Boy, I'm going to go get some right now. That's a great story. It's our commercial free ride. Right now, we're in it. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.